thank you, Brother Eric. That was a lot better than your last one. You did really good. And Brother Bob, he helped me out with putting some slides together. And I don't usually get to do those, but today I have a few. If you don't mind, turn your Bibles to one of my favorite parts of the Bible, Luke. Luke 10, verse 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. Wow. So that's what my wife is really good at helping me with that. Okay, I'm going to read it. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered them, said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me an opportunity, a privilege, Lord, to preach. Lord, I pray you would just bless this message. I know it's not my original, but Lord, I pray it's a help to someone. Lord, I know when I heard this message, it really spoke to my heart. And Lord, I just want to be a help to people. I just want people to get what you have for them, Lord. And Lord, I just pray you would bless our church. I pray you'd be with our pastor. I pray you give him a good vacation, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for our upcoming school year. And Lord, I just pray for this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, there's a certain lawyer, and the story's about a lawyer, so it's kind of funny, but there's a lawyer, and I was listening to his message, and this message really is an awesome message. And so I asked God, I had something else planned, but God said, I want you to preach this. And when God teaches us something, you have to do what God says. So, I mean, you don't want to ever get out of this, what God wants you, his plan in your life. And so when I heard this message, I was with my wife, we were driving, and I said, wow, this was really convicting. Patty, 48. Okay, so this is a story, and it's about a lawyer, and it's a lawyer that preached it. The lawyer's name was David Gibbs, and this guy, he is such an incredible preacher. When he tells a story, it's like, out of all the preachers I ever heard, it's the best stories I ever heard. And when he tells you something, you are listening. He's just got such, I mean, when me and my wife heard that, we were convicted, and I knew this was it. So this is a story, what we're learning about as a lawyer. And this lawyer is very comical. He tried to trip up Jesus. He tried to confound and confuse. And that's what lawyers do. Lawyers are very good at confusing people, confounding, and trying to stumble people. But you're not going to stumble Jesus. And we all know that. So when Jesus was trying to, the lawyer was trying to put Jesus on point, Jesus naturally, he won out and put the lawyer on point. And so this is a story about the Good Samaritan. And as it begins our story, it's a Good Samaritan. It deeply convicted me into changing something that I have. And I'll get to it later. But so Jesus, he has an end line where it speaks, and I love it. It says, go and do thou likewise. He doesn't want you to just not get the message. He wants you to go and do thou likewise. And so I'm first going to tell you about this story. And it's a great story. And it's David Gibbs. And so the story is, there was this preacher, David Gibbs. He was going through Texas, and he was traveling through the Texas Panhandle. And it's the very northern part of the state. And it's a desolate and remote area. And he said it smelled like a lot of oil. And he said the police, kind of like in Michigan, they don't really pay a lot of attention to you. Jesse, you would love this. In Michigan, I can go on I-75, and I can go 80, 85 miles per hour. And if I'm not in the slow lane, they're going to be beeping at me. They love to drive fast there. And this is what they do in Texas in Panhandle area. And so before he got on the road, he said, this is a big preacher. Bob, you got the picture of the preacher? This preacher is, this is my hero right there. He is. I love that guy. And he loves, like me, health food. And he, before he got on the road, he had to get something to eat. And I can appreciate that. I like to eat as I'm driving. Sometimes I'll get licorice as I'm doing my Uber. I love to have chocolate licorice. So if you ever want to make my day, chocolate licorice, the Hershey kind. Love it. But this gentleman, he wanted to have something to eat on the way. And so he went and bought Twinkies and cupcakes. My mom, we used to have a CB, and she was called Cupcake. And the reason why is my dad was a Hostess cake driver. And all his life, since he was 18 years old until he retired, he was a Hostess cake driver. And so we always had Hostess in our house. My dad, he would come to my baseball games. And when he'd come to my baseball games, he would always come in his work truck. And the kids loved that. They were like, after the game, my dad said, come on out. I'll pick anything you want from the truck. I'll let you guys have it. And so the kids loved it. I was like one of the most favorite kids. And so, hey, whatever it takes, I got to bribe my friendships. But now I tried to bribe the kids in my Sunday school with treats. But so he bought Hostess. This is David Gibbs. He bought Hostess, and he got Twinkies and cupcakes. And when someone would always ask me what I thought of Twinkies, and that was before I met Krispy Kreme, I always thought Twinkies were like some manna that would fall from heaven for the Israelites. And I still believe that to this day. And so this gentleman, he bought Hostess cupcakes and Twinkies. And as he was driving down the road, not looking, he just grabbed in the bag. He said, I was just going to take a chance. And he grabbed for one of the Hostess, and he got the cupcakes. And he peeled the wrapper off, and I could see it in my eyes. He peeled that wrapper off, and he digged in there, and he grabbed one of those cupcakes. And a cupcake, you cannot just eat like a little bite. You've got to just go right for the middle of it. Go right for that cream. That cream is the delicious part. And so as he's driving and he's pulling that wrapper back, he grabs that cupcake and he puts his mouth and he dips into that. And as soon as he dipped into that cupcake, he knew something was horribly wrong. There was a strong, strong rancid taste. And he looked down and he saw the cream was silver and grayish color. So as he's chewing this, he says he feels something moving in his mouth, and it was loaded with maggots. And so there's these things are crawling, and he is like, and this is horrible. He didn't know what to do, so he's spitting them out of the car, out of the window, and he can't get that enough spit to get these maggots out. And he then says, I got this cupcake. And he puts it in the bag. He jams it in the bag. And not that it's a Christian thing to do, but he takes the bag and he throws it. He's looking for the perfect time, and he throws it. He doesn't want that in his car. There's maggots in there. So he throws it out the window into the highway, out into the edge of the highway. And as he threw it, he said he threw it so perfect. And he thought it was a great throw, but in slow motion, he saw his wedding ring going out the window with his cupcakes and the bag. And this gentleman has been married to his wife for over 50 years. And he said it was only a $16 ring. He remembers how much it was. It wasn't very expensive. But it was something that really mattered to him. Something that was very heartfelt, something that he said he put so much onto it. That was something that him and his wife, it was a vow. And it meant the world to him. And so that ring, he slammed on his brakes. And he knew he was going a certain speed. And he said, I got to... So he started backing up. And he said, I just got to find this bag. If I can find this bag where the general location of this bag is, then I'm going to be able to hopefully find that ring. And so he's looking. And an hour goes by, and he finds that bag. Whew, thankfully. So now he starts looking for that ring. But he feels in that part of Texas, there were these sagebrushes, these pricker bushes. And he could feel, every time he walked in there, he could feel these sharp things hitting his pant leg. And he was like, what's going on? How am I going to find this ring? And he's looking around, and as he goes deeper into the sagebrush, there's a semi-truck that pulls over right behind him. Semi-truck? What's this semi-truck doing here, he's thinking. I don't know. It's a mountainous area. There's not much going on. And this guy on the semi-truck gets out of his truck, grabs a beer. I guess that's what some of the truckers do. Grabs a beer, and he had this big stogie. And he started lighting that stogie up, and David Gibbs is like, I wonder if this guy's just wanting to help me. Maybe he pulled over to give me some help. So he's waiting and waiting. He said he waited 5 minutes. And he's, sir, can I help you with, you know, what are you doing? And the guy says, I just came here. I'm not here for any reason. I just came here to watch you die. He's like, what? Why am I going to die? So he's thinking about it. He's still looking around. He's walking a little further into the sagebrush. And he said, he thinks I'm going to die. I'm a big guy. Like Brother Steve sweats. He gets hot. And he said, he probably thinks I'm going to die because of the heat, to get a heat stroke. So he said, sir, I'm not going to get a heat stroke. I trust me, I can live. I'm in good shape. Don't worry about it. And the guy goes, no, heat stroke. Are you kidding me? I'm not thinking you're going to get a heat stroke. He said, I don't know if you know this, but this area that you're at right now is where there's some venomous rattlesnakes. And this David Gibbs, big preacher, I mean, he's a big guy. He is definitely afraid. He's like with Miss Bloom and mice, he's definitely afraid of snakes. And so he's like, no, there's no snakes in here. I would have heard them. I would have seen them. But he couldn't believe. He's like, okay, sir. Yeah, sure, third thing. He looks down, and there's hundreds and hundreds of snakes. He looks right down by his feet, and he saw a snake with a diamond on its back. Wow. He is very nervous. He doesn't know what to do. But then he heard hissing. And being like myself, I know what I would do, but he heard the hissing, and he started to run at his top speed. He said it was like 10 yards per 60 seconds, which is not very fast. And so he was getting out of there, and as he was looking down, as he was running, he saw three snakes attached to his pants. And he's still running. He gets outside of the bushes, right in front of that semi-truck's driver, and he takes his pants, he calls them his britches. He takes his britches off, and he throws them. And right to the side of the road just before the sagebrush. And sure enough, those rattlesnakes that were attached to his britches scattered right back into the sagebrush. Wow. So here he is, no wallet, no keys, no britches. He has no britches. And he looks down. He's got no scratches where those rattlesnakes were, but he could see the venom. The truck driver states, he's like, wow, this is amazing. I never saw anything like that. He goes, fat boy, that was something to watch. He's like, I've never seen a fat boy move that fast. And they were both laughing in disbelief, and they couldn't believe what happened, but still no ring to be found. So David Gibbs, he's like, what am I to do? How am I going to be able to find That ring is my, that's my wife's ring that she gave me. I do not want to lose it. That is the thing that most matters to me in my life. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you have something in your life that really matters to you, I can pretty much tell you what your life is going to be like. Just for some people, some kids, what matters most to them is video games. Sometimes people, that matters most to them is sleep. Some people, money matters the most to them. Thank God this man, what mattered most to him was something, that was a $16 ring that meant the world to him from his wife. So he's like, what am I going to do? So he says, I know a pastor nearby. I'm going to give him a call. So he called that pastor, and the pastor answered the phone and said, hey, Brother Gibbs, what's going on? He said, I got three things I need to ask you to bring me. And the pastor, oh, of course, Brother Gibbs, anything for you. I love you. He's in charge of the Christian Law Association. He said, whatever you do, you've helped us out many times. I want to help you out. He says, I need you to bring me, the first thing is to bring me some britches. And he said, not just any ordinary britches, but I need some big boy britches. It's big boy britches. And he said, okay, you want to tell me why you need britches? He said, no. If I tell you why I need these britches, you're going to call everybody, and next thing you know, everyone's going to be here watching me. No. Okay. He said, well, what else can I help you with? He said, well, I need a rusty, older, just a beat-up lawnmower. Matthew's got a couple, at least one of those. I know Matthew's got a beat-up lawnmower. He said, I need a lawnmower that is going to just tear through some brush, tear through some bushes, that is just heavy-duty. And more importantly, tear through some snakes. And the pastor's like, snakes? You tell me snakes too? What's going on here? He said, there's still one more thing I need you to bring me. He said, I need you to get me some big boy britches, a nasty, heavy-duty lawnmower, and I need, lastly, for you to bring me a metal detector. And so the guy said, let me get this right. You need britches, a nasty lawnmower, and a metal detector. David Gibbs says, yes. Pastor said, I don't know what this is about, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't miss this for the world. I will be there. Give me a few. I'll be right there. So 2 hours came by, and he got it together. He brought a nice trailer, had the lawnmower in there, and he had a radar metal detector in there. He had some big boy britches, and so David Gibbs, first thing he did, said, let me have those big boy britches, and he put those on. He said, you'll never know how hard it was for people just to be driving by and just looking at you so peculiar without any britches on. So he put those on. And next thing he did is he started this lawnmower, and he said, this is my problem. I'm going to go deal with this problem. And so he started that lawnmower up, and he started going through those bushes, and he said it was just awesome, and they were just getting scattered. And he said the snakes were just rushing away, trying to go further into the sage brush. And he said it was going so awesome. And he said, I was working hard. I was doing 2 hours worth. And I had the pastor behind me. He was taking this metal detector. And it was looking to see if he could find that. And he said, we just kept going at it and going at it. And said, I seen him. Next thing I know, I hear this real loud beep. He looked up in amazement. And the pastor goes, is this your ring that your wife got you? And he said, that's it. The pastor friend said, she really matters to you, doesn't she, Brother Gibbs? And he replied, more than you could ever believe. That's his story. Now, I have a little story, and it's not as good, but this is a story, and this is a true story too, just like that's a true story. My wife and I, when we first got married, we went on this boat ride. As in Michigan, there's lakes everywhere. And I had this friend, he had this real fast boat. My wife, she hated to ride it. She said he would go so fast, it just hurts your body just from the waves you would be hitting. And so we'd go to a certain spot, and he would take us to good beaches. And we went to this beach, and me and him, we'd be playing ball and such, and we were playing catch, and the sand was just beautiful. It was just beautiful sand. There was not many pebbles or anything. And I'm just playing ball with them, and my ring fell off my hand. I don't know. I was like, oh, my goodness. He's like, what are you going to do? I said, I'm not going to move. I'm just going to stay right here so I'll know where it is. And so I was trying to reach down, and I couldn't get all the way down and feel it. And he said, what should... I don't know. And he said, I'm afraid if I stir up the sand, we're going to lose your ring. And by that time, my wife came up to me, and she asked what I was doing. And I said, hon, you won't believe this, but I lost my wedding ring. It's down below me somewhere. And I don't know. That's just, I believe it's just God. But she went under the water. It was so magical. She went under that water. And the next thing I know, she comes up with her hand, and on her hand is my ring. And so I was like floored, and I was worried that I wouldn't be able to find it, and it meant the world to me. So I know exactly what David Gibbs was talking about. But my wife, she found it. It was so quick. Do you remember that, hon? It was quick. Unbelievable. Okay, so let me just, I want to go through this, because this story is a story that spoke to my heart, and we're going to get to the part where it spoke to me. There's going to be 4 points, but first I'm going to read it, and I'm going to go over each verse. And the lawyer, remember, tries to stump Jesus. Listen, I'm going to be honest. Kids, you're never going to stump Jesus. Adults, we're never going to stump Jesus. He is always going to be smarter than us. You think you're going to fool him? You think maybe I'm going to hide someone from him? You're not going to hide anything from God. God is too smart. He knows everything. He knows it before we even think it. He knows it. So the lawyer tries to stump Jesus in verse 25. It says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is like, come on. He said, and what is written in the law? How readest thou? So the lawyer gives a correct answer. He said, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And that's true. God wants us to love with all our heart. I even have a hard time with this. Loving your enemy. God wants you to pump up your enemy. Treat your enemies. Buy them something. Show them some kindness. He wants us to love everyone. And so the lawyer, he said the right answer. But did he really? So Jesus then said, and he said in verse 9, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now get ready, because this is where we're going to come into the story. This is the part where we're brought into the story. So it says in verse 30, it says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So this man, he was beaten to his absolute worst. I mean, he was beaten to his near death, and he was almost dead. But in verse 31, it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. I got to be honest with you. I'm guilty. I've done that before. I've seen someone in distress. I've seen someone... And I said, oh, I don't have time. No, I got to get going. I'm going to pass by on the other side. I've done that before, and I'm guilty. And isn't it amazing when we see a need pop up, a lot of times we look the other way. We do something, we get out of the way, and we say, not my problem. I've said that before, not my problem. That's someone else's. Sorry. But verse 32, it says, and likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. And the Levite, he passed on the other side. Another one. That's like a lot of us. I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of people are this way. But in verse 33, it says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, don't miss this. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion on him. That's the key. That's what we need to do. We need to have love for other people. We need to have compassion. We need to put ourselves on the side and say, what can I do to help someone else? Verse 34, it says, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, that's 2 days' wages, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Not only did he say, I'm going to take care of this guy's bill, but if it comes to be more, don't you worry. I'll come by here again. And if it's more, you just let me know, and I will give you whatever's yours, whatever more cost. And then verse 36, it says, which now of these three thinkest thou, this is Jesus speaking, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. I got a question. How good are you people, me, myself, how good are we at caring? We know we're commanded to love. We know we are to do good and care for others. We know we're even to care for our enemies. But are we like the lawyer that we believe in principle, but we have no desire to do that principle? We know what's the right thing to do, but do we do the right thing? So I am going to give you four things, and then I'll hush and we'll be done. And Brother Eric's going to do the altar call, but I got four things, and I promise you I'll be done. Four things to show that you care. Four things. The first thing, and this is a hard one, willing to surrender your good name. People are like, what's a good name? What's a good name? I don't care who you help. I even think about when they were building the wall, how people came against them. Whenever you're doing something good, there is always going to be someone that will criticize you. They will make fun of you. They'll criticize your good name. They'll do it because you're being helpful. Why are you helping these people, they'll say. They're not like us, Christian people. Why are you helping the world? Why are you helping worldly people? They want you to value your good name so much that you're going to stop doing good, stop helping out. But listen, if you keep doing good, you're going to have a good name in heaven. It doesn't matter what other people think. Jesus is going to know you have a good name, and God will know you have a good name. And so I thought of an illustration, and this was this year. I used to drive for Scranton Prep. It's a Catholic school, and I would drive a van. And I had six kids that I would drive home, and I would drive them up to Moosic. And Scranton Prep, it's right in downtown area. And as I was driving through downtown to take them to the expressway, I had to take 81 home, I saw my good friend Danny Seward. I love Danny. Me and him, I've known him for all my years I've been at this church. I've known Danny. And I've picked him up on a bus. I've just had good interaction with him. He is one of my favorite guys in this church. I love this guy. And I would see him. And also, as I drove by, I go, and he would, hey, Brother Stevie. And he'd do the Rocky, and he's punching. And all the kids in my van were like, whoa, what's going on? What's wrong with that guy? Wow, is he not all there? I said, he's more there than you will ever be. I said, he's a real person. I said, that's my friend. I said, he goes to my church. I said, don't badmouth him. Don't say anything about him. I love that guy. I didn't care what they said. I don't care if they told their parents. You're not going to criticize a friend of mine. And Danny, I put my name on the line. I didn't care. And I love that guy. And so don't let someone put you down or criticize you. Just do something. Just stick up for it. Love other people. Number two is put your time in. Put your time in. I got to be honest with you. I don't mind helping, but I don't like to always put my time to do it. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. I'll see if I can help you out. But you got to put the time into doing it. I even heard people say, I can't help you, but I'll pay for someone to do it. Or can I just, I'll give you, I'll figure something else. Maybe I'll ask someone more gifted to help out. The Good Samaritan did not do that. The Good Samaritan, he went to that guy that was beat and almost to his death. He bound up his wounds. He poured in oil and water. He took him to an inn, and he cared for him. I mean, that touches me, man. He put in his time. He put in some effort. I don't mind giving a little, but someone putting in your extra personal space, that can be a little tiresome and could be hard. And I'm guilty of that. I remember my wife, there was a guy that went to our church, and you guys might all remember him. His name was James Jefferson. I love James Jefferson. But my wife goes, hey, James doesn't have a license. He's older. He wants to get a job. He wants to start dating. Can you help him out to get a driver's license? And I'd like, oh, driver's license. She said, yeah, just show him how to do, like, the parallel parking. Show him how to drive. And, wow, I got to be honest. I was reluctant at first. But I did it. My wife, when she tells me or nudges me, more times than not, if I do it, I'm really going to be blessed by it. And it's the right thing to do. My wife is really, she's got a good heart, and she's got a good head on her shoulder. And I'm going to be honest, I spent at least 4 separate occasions driving with James. And we would go around the Taylor Walmart, and I'll be honest with you, I was scared for my life. He drove fast. He didn't stop quick. He didn't stop like a slow stop. He like real quick. I was scared for my life. But he was getting better and better. I put up chairs so he could practice parallel parking, and he was getting pretty good at it. And I don't regret it, and I'm so thankful that I did it. But I had to give up my time. So do you care enough to be a Samaritan like that, to give up not only your good name, but your time? Number 3 is my comfort and personal space. I think about the Good Samaritan. He took this guy, and he didn't not only fix his wounds and take care of him, but he also gave his own animal, his beast, his horse. I imagine a horse, or he gave him his own ride. Now, you ask me if someone's got a car problem and they need to get somewhere and they want to take my car. Now, that's something that's a big thing to do. But are we going to do stuff like that? Are we able to take something of our comfort and give to others? No, thanks. No, I'm not saying that. But I think if the world would give up their good name, maybe give up their time, and give up their comfort and space, we would see a better change in this world. And I think that's why this world is the way it is. I remember, this is a true story, I had a friend that had a problem, and I was visiting family in Michigan. This is a true story. I was visiting family in Michigan, and we were shopping at a big mall, and I had Pastor Bloom called. And when Pastor Bloom calls me, Brother Joe, I'm sure Eric, Brother Bob, and all, when he calls, we answer, because when he wants something, we want to take care of him. He's our pastor. And so he called me as I was out of town. He knew I was on vacation, and he said, Steve, I got a favor to ask you. I said, sure, Pastor, what do you got? I'm out of town, you know. You remember that? Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I have a situation. I have someone that needs a place to stay. Oh, really? Pastor, I just told you I'm out of town. How's someone going to stay at my house? Do you have any way that someone can get into your house? And I said, yeah, I do. And so I gave my secret code, and I gave my, I let Pastor know how this person could get into my house. And I'll tell you what, it was 9 months that me and my wife opened our house, but I don't regret it one bit. It was a privilege, and God blessed it. And I'm so thankful for it. But it was an opportunity for us to show compassion. And that's what the world needs. We need compassion. We need to show people love. We need to care for others. And I count it was one of the best times. I enjoyed it. 9 months, but it wasn't hard. It wasn't something that really cost a lot. And it was something that we could be a help. But this number 4, I promise you, those other 3, I'm not too shabby at. But here is where we get really, really messy. Bob, you got it up there. Number 4. Ooh. Put your money in. Ooh. Put your money into it. I think about the Good Samaritan. He not only paid 2 pence, 2 days' wages, but he even said, whatever this is extra, I'll make it right. It's like giving a guy an open, hey, spend all you want. I'll pay it, man. Don't worry about it. But he did it. He had no problem giving up his money. And I've known people in this church that they have no problem giving up money to help others. And that's something I guilty. I am telling you, this message spoke to me. I said, I have a hard time putting my money in. It's one thing to surrender your name. It's one thing to surrender your time. It's one thing to surrender comfort and space. But you want me to take this right here with all my money and just throw that on the... Whoa, that's a lot to do. But God wants us to. It's money. It's just money. You can make it back. And so God spoke to me about that, and I was convicted. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Matthew. And God convicted me. He said, listen, your God is your wallet. And I'm going to be honest. I have been so convicted. Me and my wife, we used to have people over our house, and we had like a ministry where we'd invite people. We had a, when we were running the bus, we had in the van ministry, we had a time where we invited people out to our house after the bus ministry on a Sunday, and we bought food and we cooked for them. We had fellowship, and we got away from that. And I don't want to get away from that. I don't want to put this ahead. This is not my God. That's my God. And I want to have compassion on the others. I want to spend not just my good name. Who cares about my good name? My good name only matters what my name is in heaven. I don't care about my time. I mean, time is, you got plenty of time. Comfort, ugh, who cares? But I want to put my money and help out others in that way. So I'm committing myself, this message spoke to me, to do more for others, not being greedy, not being selfish. And the reason I believe Brother Gibbs ran into that bush, because there was something in there that mattered to him. And that was that ring that he adored from his wife. He loved her. And I pray we'd be like the Good Samaritan. Go and do thou likewise. It might cost us a little with our good name. You got to let them into your personal space. But by the grace of God, you get rid of some of your comfort. And you get to take people in. And you get to share time with them. And it may cost a lot of money or a little money. But the reward and treasure in heaven is priceless. And so the end of my message, go. God says this. It says it in the Bible. It's in red. I see it. I know this. Verse 37, look at that. It says, and he said, he showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And I believe that's what we need to do. And so, Brother Eric, we...
All right.